Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. Producing from Bristol, Troy Farkas, filling in again for Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Some terrible news last night. A lot of terrible news, actually. The Mets and the Braves, top of the second inning, Mike Soroka, the Braves' talented young pitcher on the mound, and this happened.
Bat in the hands of J.D. Davis. Ground ball out to Freddie. Got on him quickly. Sliding stop to it. Pops up, goes to second. And they get the force out there. And now Soroka is limping on the infield.
He was going to try to get over and cover first and went down in a heap. Got to his feet. Now he's back down on his knees.
And he is on all fours just inside the first baseline on the infield grass. And he is shaking his head, being tended to by Mike Frostad. And he is going to be helped off the field, holding his right foot up in the air. This looks terrible. He's not able to put any weight on his right foot at all.
That from 680 The Fan. And you suspect that Mike Soroka probably knew as he was on his knees what had happened. Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, talked about it after the game.
Hey, what can you tell us about Soroka?
Torn right Achilles. And he'll miss the rest of the year. He, when I went out there, that's what he said. He felt like, he knew it was that.
Have they given you any idea what he can expect as far as?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
That's got to be about as hard a thing you can see for a kid so young.
Yeah. No, but he's young and he's strong, so I'm sure he'll come back stronger than ever. Weird thing. You know, it's a freak thing that happened and sorry it did. Somebody else is going to get an opportunity. I mean, things like that happen. And these guys will regroup here. And like I say, somebody's going to get an opportunity to do something really good.
And another young pitcher is also hurt. Shohei Ohtani has been shut down as a pitcher for several weeks. This is after the MRI on his right arm revealed that he has a grade 1-2 strain of the flexor pronator mass near a surgically repaired right elbow. It's unclear exactly how the Angels will use him, when they'll use him as a designated hitter as they move forward. The Angels, by the way, called up highly touted prospect Joe Adell. That from Aldin Gonzalez. Confirmation, Joe Adell is considered to be someone who's going to be sitting alongside, playing alongside Mike Trout for years to come. The Padres and the Dodgers, two teams at the National League West, and it was a good night for San Diego.
High fly ball, deep right field. I thought he got it all off the bat. Car rushed. Right field, Tatis, just opposite field again, like in San Francisco.
The great Ted Leitner, 97.3 The Fan. The Padres win that game 5-4. Those two teams have identical 7-4 records. Nobody can stop the Yankees these days. Garrett Cole pitched well, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts, 5 hits allowed, and he got backing from Gio Urshela.
Oh, there, yeah.
Gio flies one deep to left. McCutchen going back on the track. McCutchen in front of the bullpen. She's gone. Gio Urshela with 2 men aboard. Takes Guerra into the Phillies bullpen. Adios, amigo. Urshela stretches the lead out to 6-1. Another one where McCutchen kept following the ball, thinking it was going to come down, and it just kept on carrying.
That from WFAN. Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, talked about the Yankees start after the game.
Obviously excited with the start and with the record and, the fact that I feel like we're playing good baseball. But even though it is a shorter season, it's a long ways to go, right? So happy with where we are. We need to keep grinding now. We got a day off tomorrow ahead of a tough stretch of essentially a tough road trip with a couple doubleheaders and a lot in a row. So we got to continue to play well and try and keep racking them up.
The Twins also off to a great start. It was tied 4-0 when Nelson Cruz walked it off.
And the 1-1 pitch, a fly ball center field deep. This will do it. Tucker going back, still going into right center. It lands. Polanco heading home. He will score. Twins win. The Minnesota Twins walk it off 5-4.
Corey Provis on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Some other news. Major League Baseball's Field of Dream game in Iowa has been postponed until 2021 because of the coronavirus. The game at the newly constructed ballpark on the cornfield adjacent to the site of the 1989 movie had been scheduled for August 13th in Dyersville. Troy, you know what that means? I might get it. Who knows? Maybe it could work out that I could do that game because I've always been excited about that possibility.
Have you ever been to Iowa before?
I've been to all 50 states. Check that box,
wow,
baby.
Wow, impressive.
I actually went about 4 hours out of my way. My kids were really thrilled when we were driving around South Dakota to cross the border, get out of the car in the mall parking lot someplace, and then say, yep, we've been in Iowa, and then I moved back into South Dakota.
I bet the air quality is great in Iowa.
Oh, listen to you. You're still bitter about all that. Derek Jeter, the CEO of the Miami Marlins, spoke with reporters for the first time since the Marlins outbreak. He talked about how the positive cases came about.
What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other, they got relaxed, and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. Everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive. And the entire traveling party got a little too comfortable. Should they have been doing that? No. And that's been addressed. But there is no way to identify how this got into our clubhouse. But any activities on Tuesday night were not it. The entire traveling party is responsible for not following the protocols as is instructed. That includes coaches, staffs, and players. Everyone has seen the impact. They've seen their teammates get sick, and I know they all have a new level of appreciation. Hopefully, you know, this has been a wake-up call for everyone, not only on our team, but the rest of baseball and sports in general.
So the Marlins situation seems to be improving in terms of players coming back from coronavirus, but for the St. Louis Cardinals, the problems persist. They've had 13 members test positive for COVID-19 the last week, and their series against the Tigers has been postponed. John Mozeliak, the Cardinals general manager, talked about the reality of the team situation.
We are where we are, and you know, we're all hopeful that we can start taking step forward. I mean, we all hear about, you know, flattening the curve and what that means in our country, in our states, in our cities, but looking at it from a baseball team standpoint, it's a microcosm. And I will say, based on last night's testing, we are encouraged that we're getting closer to that point. We are not there yet, but we are getting closer. That's why we will remain in self-isolation.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Seamheads rejoice.
Nerd alert!
It's Timmy time.
Is this a great game or what?
With Tim Kirkchian on Baseball Tonight.
And Tim Kirkchian covers baseball for ESPN, which is mostly fun. But yesterday, Tim, it was a hard day to see Mike Soroka, this talented young pitcher who was so important to the team last year, go down with an injury. And look, I'm sure you, like I, as soon as you saw it, you knew exactly what happened and what it would mean for the Braves.
Yeah, and it's not just that he's the best pitcher on the team and one of the best young pitchers in the game. He's one of the great kids you'll ever meet. He's hilarious. He's really smart. And now he's lost for the season. And that was devastating to watch, see a young kid go down that early. And I mean, the Braves can still make the playoffs, but now their pitching is, you know, Cole Hamels is hurt anyway, and now you lose your best pitcher. I think they can slug their way through. They still have some arms in the bullpen. They still have a couple of good starting pitchers for sure, but that was a bad day, and I'm sorry, Buster. We've had a lot of bad days in baseball so far, 11 days in, but that one hurt the most because we certainly didn't see that, and it was certainly un-COVID related.
Tell me about some of the time you spent with Mike Soroka so people can get a sense of his personality.
Well, I did the thematics this spring with the Braves, and so you get like 10 minutes to sit down and talk to a player. So we were trying to figure out, I asked every player how to spell Mike Foltynewicz's last name, and Mike Soroka was hilarious explaining that no one on the team has any idea how to spell it. Then he took a run at it, and he got it all right until the end, and then he put like a K at the end instead of a Z, which being from Canada, he called it a Z. So he's just got a really good way about him. And we had him on when I did a game from the booth last year in Atlanta. He did a game in, you know, one of the innings with a mic on, and he was absolutely hilarious and unbelievably smart, and for a guy that young who just got to the big leagues.
Now, we have a Bleacher tweet today. Kayaking Smith asked the question, with Mike Soroka going down, the Braves have now lost 4 of their 5 expected opening day rotation members. Who can they realistically go after to bolster their rotation? You know, Tim, most years, every other year, you would see a question like that and a bunch of names would pop into your head. But my God, this year, there are just so many, you know, factors that are involved, so many variables that are involved. You know, will the season go forward? And we'll talk about that in a second. You know, how do you actually establish trade value? Who might not be around? For example, you know, some of the teams that potentially would be sellers that we would talk about as having, you know, veteran pieces available to deal in the rotation. There's a lot of feeling around baseball that some of those teams, you might see guys just walk away. And then, you know, I've had general managers tell me that as you try to assess possible trade value, one thing that has to factor in is, okay, we might like a given player, but are you going to be willing to give up something of value and then have the season shut down and never see a return on your investment? It's hard. You know, I can come up with names like if the Mets fall out, I would imagine a Rick Porcello might become available. But I just don't see teams either aggressively marketing or aggressively shopping for anyone who has a lot of experience.
Right. And Buster, the other issue, which you kind of alluded to, is there's no minor league baseball this year. So when you start to go look at a prospect, let's go to Akron and watch this guy play and see if he fits. There is no game in Akron. So how in the world are we going to really get a handle on the prospects you're trading for? Granted, we have a million, you know, so much information about all these guys, but if you're going to make a deal for a young player, you got to see the young player play, and we don't even have that now. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a really quiet trade deadline for all the reasons you spelled out there. It's going to be really tricky, but there are some teams that are going to be out of it. They're going to have to say, we got to do something here in order to start to get ready for 2021.
And there was another injury confirmed with Shohei Ohtani, the Angels announcing that he is a grade 1, grade 2 strain of his forearm, which you and I both know directly related to the elbow. In your mind, how much does this call into question the possibility that he would be a two-way player moving forward?
Well, I think this is more proof, Buster, why the last guy to really do this was Babe Ruth. That it was, it's really, really hard to do. And even Babe Ruth kind of gave up pitching. He said, all right, I'm going to become a full-time hitter. He pitched in between here and there. But it just shows you how difficult and delicate the skill of pitching is, how unrelated that is to being a DH and hitting third every day and being an athlete on the other side of the ball. I mean, it's it just shows again how hard it is to do. And I think this is the biggest red flag of all, that maybe he should just pick one or the other. And in this case, he has to pick just hitting. Now, I think he's so skilled he could pick this back up as a pitcher someday and help out here and there. But it's just, I've been saying all along, let him do this as long as he can, as long as he can stay healthy. And clearly he can't stay healthy. But to have a guy who can throw 100 miles an hour and hit a ball 500 feet and then have to make a choice between those two, that's really sad and really difficult to do.
I wonder if, as they move forward, if there'll be more conversation about possibly moving him from being a starter to a reliever, just to try that. We know it's so important to Ohtani that he attempt to do this. And it's interesting, Tim, but I think one of the reasons why he chose the Angels was because he is such a good rapport, which, you know, began to develop long before he agreed to go to the Angels with Billy Epler, their general manager. Well, Billy Epler's in his last year with the Angels. And I think that, you know, all along he's felt a personal responsibility after Ohtani chose the Angels to do everything he could possibly do to try to make it work, that Ohtani would have that opportunity if the Angels change general managers, just as they changed managers last fall, you know, going to Joe Maddon. I wonder if that's going to be a change in the equation.
Yeah, again, there's so many elements in play here. But obviously the first thing that has to happen is they have to get him healthy as a pitcher for someday. And in the meantime, they have to tell him, oh, by the way, we still need you to hit. And we still, because we're in trouble offensively, we need you to drive in a bunch of runs while he's, you know, contemplating whether he'll ever pitch again.
Big win for the Padres last night over the Dodgers. You had the duel of the two young aces, Paddock versus Buehler. What are you seeing in the Padres so far?
Well, I heard all spring, and I saw it a little bit myself, that this is one of those teams with the young pitching, not only they have now, but young pitching on the way, Mackenzie Gore, others, that could really be a dangerous team. And I think with the athleticism of that club, led, of course, by Fernando Tatis Jr., if they got off to a good start and started rolling, they may gather some momentum very quickly, having not won there in a while. And that's precisely what's happened. And for Paddock to outpitch Walker Buehler, Paddock is really, really good. That's a really interesting team, and I didn't see them as a playoff team going into the season, but now that we've switched to 16, they have every shot at it now, and young athletic players in the middle of a weird, strange season may be a bonus for a club that they don't even know what they're doing. They're just out there playing.
On Sunday Night Baseball, Tim, we talked about how it's remarkable that just 22 months ago, we were talking about the greatest team in Red Sox history, 119 wins, they win the World Series. And now as we look at that team, man, I am shocked at how far back their pitching has gone and how seemingly how long it's going to take for them to get that all back together. What are you seeing in the Boston pitching?
Well, the Red Sox pitching is indescribably bad right now. And look, we all understand Eduardo Rodriguez is hurt, Chris Sale is hurt, and anyone that loses your one and your three like that, and you trade David Price, it's very little chance something good's going to happen. But we did our game from the booth from home. Josh Osich started the other day. He'd never started a major league game. Pretty good relief pitcher, never started. Matt Hall never started a major league game, started back-to-back for the Red Sox. And then look at what they threw out there against the Yankees. The Yankees at Yankee Stadium. I'm sorry, all due respect, this is not a major league pitching staff right now. And I heard you talking about, you know, maybe trading a couple of these relievers, Workman, Barnes. You make all the sense in the world on that. But because I don't see the Red Sox being in this on August 31st, because their pitching right now is just not good enough to run in that division.
And I tell you what, Tim, even let's say for argument's sake, because it's a 16-team playoff field, let's say that the Red Sox offense, which is still very capable of being excellent, let's say the offense is a reason why they're about 500 as we get close to the trade deadline, and the Red Sox front office is trying to assess what to do, I'd be sitting there in that room saying, sell, sell, sell. This team is not close to what the Yankees are, the Dodgers are. They're not going to win the World Series, you know? And that's the standard now in Boston, having won it, what, four times since John Henry took over as owner. And if they can flip a Brandon Workman, a Matt Barnes, a J.D. Martinez, now that the National League uses the DH, why not? You know? Yeah. Do you agree with me?
I agree. And again, Buster, Chaim Bloom is a really smart guy who did some great things in Tampa Bay, and I think he'll do some great things in Boston. This is just another reminder that Boston is different, man. You can't just throw out a group like this and expect Red Sox fans, they're too smart, they're too sophisticated to not recognize what's going on here. So I agree. I think it's a complete rebuild in their pitching staff, because the offense can score a lot of runs still. We know that. But I think they have to look at doing even more, because the Mookie Betts trade, of course, signaled that we're going in a different direction. You might as well go all the way, because they're close to doing that now.
Tim, every day I get texts from players, from staffers, and I'm sure you do too, people asking, okay, where do we stand now? And just before you and I started talking, you asked me that question. I'm like, no, I'm going to throw it back on you. I'm the host. I'm going to ask you that impossible question. Where do we stand right now in terms of how fragile this all is?
Well, Buster, note my heavy sigh. We are in the dark. I can't figure this out. Half of me wants to say, this is ridiculous with all the scheduling issues we have, and some teams have played 3 games and others have played 11. That we should just end the season now. And yet that's totally unfair to all the other teams that have done the protocols correctly, all the other people in the game who have tried and need the game so badly for, you know, salary and everything else. So there's no way we should shut down the game. That's just not right. And yet, with the health concerns, you have to look at that angle completely. And how can you not be worried about all these positive tests and where they could lead? So it's such a bad situation, Buster. And I just look at the Cardinals, and granted, they must have done something wrong here, but they're going to go 10 days without playing. Marlins are going 10 days without playing. It's the hardest game in the world to play anyway. It's impossible to play when your routine and everything else is off. And when you haven't thrown a baseball in 5 days, and now you have to come out and pitch in a major league game, not only is it going to not be good from a skill standpoint, but you might get hurt doing it too. And that's what I hope everyone examines here. I am so conflicted. I am so lost where we are. All I do know is I enjoy watching the game, so I'm hoping we continue.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's hard to know what's going to happen. I think one of the things that's brought up all the time to me is what's going to happen if we continue to have these, you know, sporadic outbreaks and teams lose games off the schedule. What happens is teams begin to really fall out of contention, you know, and how many players are going to walk away, you know, in the face of uncertainty and whether or not their team's involved in the race. I'm guessing you probably hear similar questions.
I do, and I had a GM ask me the other day, are we being too kind to these players who are walking away now if they don't have a major concern with COVID? Now, I thought that was rather unfair of the GM to even ask me. He wasn't angry. He was just asking a question. But sure, if you have issues with health and you're worried about your health and the health of your family, I have no problem whatsoever with any player walking away. But if you're just going to walk away because you're tired of it and it's no fun and it's not what you're used to, I'm not sure that's the right thing to do for your teammates. So to repeat, anybody who leaves who has a medical reason, they should go and not come back. And I'm all for that. But I think we'll see more defections here as things go along. I don't think it's going to be massive, but it's going to be, they're going to be more. That's for sure.
I'm curious about, before you go, about what you heard the reaction around the sport to what Rob Manfred told our friend Carl Ravitch on Saturday. His quote was, "We are playing, the players need to be better, but I am not a quitter in general, and there's no reason to quit now. We have to be fluid, but it is manageable." And I will tell you that after that quote came out, there was certainly response from players Major League Baseball, and even someone at the Player Association, you know, reached out to me and tried to make the point that, yes, behind the scenes, you know, there's a lot of collaboration, cooperation, trying to make this work between the two sides. Tim, I felt like that was not at all helpful, and I always fall back, now that I'm old, on my experience as a parent, where you have situations with your kids where you have a thought in your brain, and boy, it's just sitting out there, but you're like, you know what? I better not say that. I better not say, you know, you messed up on in this way. It's better to just move past it and just try to be progressive. I thought what Rob said was just not helpful at all when he basically put it on the player's shoulder, and then he separated himself. He said, but I'm not a quitter. What did you think, and what have you heard?
Yeah, I know several players that I talked to were at best confused by what the commissioner said, because clearly the players are ones in peril right now, not to mention everyone who's at the ballpark every day. It's not just the players. We understand that. But it became more about the commissioner. I'm not a quitter. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where that came from and what he was trying to say. I know he was trying to say, we're going to try to bring this game through, which is great, but this can't be about him. It has to be the players and the people on the front line, the people who are actually risking things by going out and playing. So I think it should have been more about the game and less about himself, and that's what confused me a little bit also.
All right, Tim. Thanks for doing this. Always good to talk with you.
Okay, Buster. Talk soon.
Derek Gould covers the St. Louis Cardinals for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and Derek, we'll just start with the simplest question, which seems to be the one that's being asked every single hour in the 2020 season. What's the latest with the St. Louis Cardinals situation?
The Cardinals are in Milwaukee. They remain in Milwaukee. They have 13 confirmed positive tests. They've gone through additional testing, though they've moved on from the rapid testing to get an immediate handle on the spread of the virus to now doing the MLB testing, but they are doing it daily. So they will get results again Tuesday. All the 13 people who have confirmed positive have been removed from their Milwaukee quarantine, from the Milwaukee hotel. The players and staff that have had negatives must have 2 consecutive days of negatives before they will be cleared to travel. The earliest that can happen is Wednesday. They have a flight planned for Wednesday morning to then go to St. Louis and have a workout and be together for the first time on Wednesday afternoon. The last time the team would have seen each other would have been 6 days earlier. They've been in isolation since.
What are the players doing? You mentioned being in isolation, but how are they filling their time based on what you're hearing?
I mean, a lot of them are doing what you'd expect. There's some readers on the team, so they got books stacked up. They're watching movies. They're watching the NBA and the bubble experience. They're texting, FaceTiming. You know, some of the players have gotten creative in order to continue working out. Some of the coaches have too. I know that, like, Subby Clapp put up on social media some of his routine suggestions for how to stay in shape in a hotel room. Jack Flaherty, I'm probably a lot of people saw on social media, lifted up the mattress of his bed so that he could rest it against the wall and then scattered pillows beneath it so that he could throw a bullpen in his hotel room. Adam Wainwright showed off some trick golf shots and was setting up cups and chairs around his hotel room in order to have something of a, I guess, quarantine mini golf challenge. So they're doing what they can. It sure seems like they're spending a lot of time talking with family, you know, talking with friends, and counting down the hours.
And now, testing. We saw yesterday.
They also do a lot of testing, let's be honest.
Yeah, right. Yesterday we heard from Derek Jeter, the CEO of the Marlins, for the first time. You could tell, like, I, you know, known Derek a long time. There was some edge in his responses with the media yesterday because he clearly is upset with the, I guess the best way to describe it, is search for blame. You know, the search for the party who did something wrong. What's the sense of among the Cardinals players about all that?
Definitely frustration on the players' part. I don't get a whole lot of like rush to try to, you know, rush to anger, but frustration because, you know, they like a lot of teams. A lot of teams, you know, talk to big game about, you know, being together in united front, and they have the veterans. We spent a lot of time talking to the veterans about the internal protocols that they had and the things that they layered on over the MLB protocols, and what, you know, how they tried to band together and say, look, the only way you can assure that we won't win a World Series is if you let the virus in and we lose our season. And so this is the reason to do it. And, you know, care about you, others' health as well as yours. And so they said all those things. And now to see what's happened, there's definite, you know, frustration. I hesitate to call it seething frustration, but there's frustration because they've seen this come apart. But also, and this is a question that I asked John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations, is how do you balance that clear frustration that something punctured their bubble and caused the virus to leak in with what is the other part of this that is the real concern for now, the health of teammates and staff. You know, that through this whole thing, and this, you know, whether it's this week or go back a month and or 2 months and talking with players, one of the things that they underscored a lot, Buster, was, you know, just the sense of fear about the virus. You know, they are obviously told that, you know, that they're strong and they're young and, you know, they can read the numbers just as long as we can. But they also see, you know, the heart trouble that people have had, or they wonder about the long-term effects of it, and they wonder about their family, or they wonder about the people that they know that are high risk. And so there's a lot of questions and I think almost trepidation as a result of that. The Cardinals management have not had any players come to them through all this whole thing and say, that's it, I'm done, I'm walking away, no thanks. But they still are aware that they're dealing with something that could impact their or a loved one's health, and that has them concerned.
How about you as someone covering the team, your personal level of concern about, you know, for yourself?
Yeah, so I'm traveling with the team. I don't know if you know that. I'm not with the team, but like not beside the team, but I'm driving because I can do that because of the way the schedule is set up in the Central. This most of it's just in this time zone, and all of it, you know, with one exception, is less than a 10-hour drive. So I've been on the road here. I've been, well, basically in my Milwaukee hotel room for a long stretch here. I was in Minneapolis. And I think, you know, for me, it's I mean, that's a great question. I think one of the things that I've learned is that the vigilance can be exhausting but necessary. And it's like a walk out of the hotel room, put on a mask, get to my car, wash my hands, you know, get out of the car, put on the mask. You know, everything that you do, you think of like, okay, how am I going to remain healthy to make it, to continue covering? Because, you know, for me to continue covering, I have to remain healthy too. You know, to go into the ballpark, I have to be able to answer all those questions that they present us with. I know you've been at the ballpark and you know what that process is like. You answer, you know, no to any of those questions, and you're looking at maybe 14 days before you can cover your beat again. And so I have to be aware and I have to be careful. And I think, you know, it's been an interesting experience. And always in the back of my head is like, what choices am I making today to not bring something back that could harm my family? What choices am I making today that I'm not going to do something that will impede my ability to do my job? These are the questions that you ask yourself almost every other minute. And it's different. That's for sure. But I think it's possible. I think it is possible to be careful. I think it is possible to stay 6 feet away from everybody. I think it is possible to still have a conversation with someone, but be diligent in following the protocols so that you don't get caught up and I don't take something back that will, you know, will harm my family, or take something back that will, or do something that will harm my ability to do my job.
All right, I'm going to ask you to take off your beat writer cap and put on your columnist cap for me for a okay. couple of questions, okay? We're okay. less than 2 weeks into this. The Marlins have played three games. The Phillies have played four games. The Cardinals, five. Some teams have played 11. How viable is this in your eyes?
I was of a mind that this was a real noble experiment by baseball, that if they could pull this off, that it would be a real example of, you know, thousands of people all pulling a rope in the same direction and all having the same goal to cooperate to make it possible. And instead, we've just seen maybe a microcosm of the, you know, of the inability to do that for the culture at large. And I'm concerned, Buster. I wouldn't say that I'm optimistic. I used to say I'd be hopeful. I can't even be hopeful. It's just that, you know, the one thing that we knew in March, the same thing we knew in April, the same thing we knew in June, is despite the squabbles between the owners and the players, and, you know, in July as things got going, and despite the concerns about, you know, what the new extra inning rules would look like, or even the recent agreement that we can have seven innings, despite all of this, what we need to keep our eye on the ball, and that's that it's all good and it all is a worthy attempt. But in the end, the determining factor has been, will be, always will be, the virus. You know, it's fierce, and the Cardinals got an eyeful of how fiercely contagious it can be. And as long as that's the case, and as long as they're trying to move teams around the country, man, it sure seems like they are. It's hard to articulate, you know, just how difficult. We just haven't seen it. They've gotten 1 week in, and we just haven't seen how they can be impervious to it. And so it's hard to think that they can get 8 weeks in and be impervious to it.
I've said on the podcast before, I think you're the best beat writer in the country. You at one point were head of the Baseball Writers Association. So I asked this question of you in that context. You know, I've been critical of Rob Manfred for not coming out and making himself available more often. I'm not only shocked because I think it's important, as he were to try to pull the two sides together and to try to assure people that action's being taken. But I also feel like it's like a political opportunity for him, for lack of a better way to describe it, to be presidential, to be out there and to say, okay, here's what we're doing, here's what we're doing. He's not doing that. You know, he's speaking to very specific people. He hasn't done a press conference of any kind since February. From your perspective, as someone who's worked in this sport a long time, what do you think about how Rob's handling this?
I was really disappointed by his recent comment there. Your ESPN colleague there, Carl Ravitch, because here's an opportunity to piggyback on what you were saying, to be the collaborator in chief, to say the players are taking on the bulk of this responsibility. Let us do what we can to help them continue to do that. Let them get credit. And instead it was saying the players need to be better because I'm not a quitter. So it essentially was saying, you guys take on the risk. You guys take on the discipline. I'll take on the credit. I'll carry that for you. And I was really discouraged by that, because through all this, I have, even in the past week, you know, with the Cardinals, I've really been aware in trying to share what is being asked of players and their families. You know, like the Cardinals and these, you know, the Cardinals who will continue on and will try to continue on, they're going to do so with a roster that is one-fourth of what it was. Seven players have tested positive so far, and they have not yet had a day here with no negative tests. So as we speak, seven of the, you know, so one-fourth of their roster, they are going to continue on, having spent 6 days in a hotel room and not being allowed to leave except for to go get a test. And they will return home to face a Cubs team, let's face it, that's going to look at them a little differently how comfortable is that going to be to play the Cardinals? And so you have put players in this position to carry all the risk, to go through isolation like they did, and then come out on the other side and play. And I think that that deserves some respect for their willingness to go through this to keep the game going and not scorn or dismissiveness from the leader of the game.
All right, Derek. Always great to talk with you. Stay safe, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Buster. It's going well. Hopefully I can get the season going, because I know what it means to people. I know what it means to history. And I know what it means to the players because of the effort that they're putting into it. So I hope that by the end of the day, I can be more hopeful. So we can talk about it again in a couple weeks and say, man, you were really wrong that other day.
We mentioned before, Derek Jeter, the Marlins CEO, spoke to the reporters yesterday on a Zoom call. Here's more of what he had to say. Here's Derek talking about how others should see the Marlins as an example.
Yeah, like I said, I hope people look at what happened to us and they use that as a warning and just see how quickly this is able to spread between a particular group. But if you're not following the protocols 100%, I mean, you can't let your guard down whatsoever. That's the bottom line.
Derek talked about how the players have to hold each other accountable.
Like I said, we get a chance to reset and start all over again. And we're fortunate to be able to have that opportunity. But moving forward, I think, like I said, guys see how serious it is. They see how, you know, their teammates are sick. They see that their teammates aren't there. They see how awkward it is. And it's up to them that they have to take responsibility and they have to hold each other accountable. And it's not just the players. Like I said, it's our entire traveling party.
Derek was asked if he's upset how the league handled positive cases.
Yeah, well, I think we're probably, everyone's learning a little bit as we move along here. So I think hindsight's 2020. You look back and say, oh, well, you know, we shouldn't have played. But it's important to point out the fact that, you know, you don't know where it came from. You don't know how quickly it spread. I mean, that's the reason why we were quarantined in the hotel for a week. We had to make sure that the guys moving forward were going to be negative. So, no, am I mad at the league for us playing? I'm not mad at the league for us playing. I just wish we would have different results.
Here's Derek on if Major League Baseball made a mistake by letting the Marlins and Phillies play 9 days ago.
Am I mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm not a medical expert either. The league has their medical experts and they have the protocols in place. And after doing the contact tracing that they do, it was decided upon that we were okay to go out there and play. Obviously, you see this spread pretty quickly within our organization or within our team. That's unfortunate, but you have the protocols in place. So I'm not mad at that. I'm disappointed at the fact of how quickly it spread throughout our team, but these are the protocols that are in place.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bleacher Tweets.
All right, Buster, we got another fine round of Bleacher Tweets this morning. We read the first one from Kayaking Smith earlier, so let's continue with Andrew Campbell at Real Camp Drew. Hey, Buster, other than 2020 being the year of the pandemic, is this season going to be looked back upon as the year that ruined far too many pitchers and their seasons? All these men who toe the rubber are dropping like flies, and shouldn't it be a cause for concern?
Yes, and it is a cause for concern, and there's a working theory among a lot of teams that I've spoken with that the lack of exhibition games have really been a factor here, where they feel like that players, while they're in, you know, decent shape, they're not necessarily in game shape, where they're prepared for full adrenaline of competition, and that's why they're getting hurt. As one executive said to me, this is why we play the exhibition games.
Do you think we'll see, Yoenis Cespedes dropped out for COVID concerns. Do you think we'll see players who are otherwise healthy drop out for injury concern-wise. They're like, hey, we didn't play our exhibition games. Guys are dropping like flies. I don't want to get hurt and cost myself X amount of dollars.
I think it's all the above. And we talked before, Troy, before we even got started, about how there's some potential free agents or, you know, players climbing up in the arbitration the arbitration ladder. Once they hit benchmarks, yeah, I think that they will try to protect themselves against injury. Not everybody. I've asked specifically about individual players, and I've gotten back that, you know, some players feel an obligation to their teammates, but I do think their players are going to drop out.
Be interesting to see. Next one here from Jason Parasak at TMN Jason. Why aren't MLB games being postponed rather than teams using the taxi squad? At this point, I'm not understanding the point of said taxi squad.
Well, when they have massive outbreaks like they've had, then the question comes in, okay, who in this whole group is testing positive? And so until that's cleared up and you have the, you know, coronavirus isolated and you've done your contact tracing, you can't be bringing in other people. It's sort of like, well, we got a bunch of sick people, bring more people into the bubble, so to speak, or the team bubble. They're not going to do that. They got to contain the coronavirus with the teams.
Final one from PK Steinberg at PK Steinberg. I thought high fives and hand touching and all that stuff was not supposed to be in the game this year, and they're spitting too. But it's all I see. What's up with that?
PK, I actually think they're getting better about this. If you saw the walk-off hit by Nelson Cruz last night, you know, he was sort of pantomiming the high fives. You're seeing a lot of that. When Ronald Acuna Jr. the other day hit his first home run, he went through the dugout. He was doing air fives for all of his teammates, and then he went out and did a curtain call for all the fans that aren't there. So I think the players, you know, they've had habits built up over years of playing sports, and they're slowly breaking themselves of those habits.
Right, yeah. It is, I mean, baseball players, more than any other sport, routine-driven, and this is years of spitting seeds and stepping out of the box and taping your batting gloves three times. It's so hard to break, so I appreciate the efforts that they are doing. Thank you for the Bleacher Tweets this morning. Keep them coming. Taylor will be back tomorrow. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets every day.
That's it for today. My thanks to Troy, to Tim, to Derek Gould. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to work against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.